The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the holy name of Jesus.
Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus. Already this morning, you've sung about singing a new song about God's wondrous deeds. A victory shout wrought by his holy arm, otherwise known as Jesus. The refrain of your new song staked as its claim that the Lord has revealed his saving power, not in the secrecy of some smoke-filled back room where those with power broker their deals, but to the nations. For as you heard Peter say, Jesus is Lord of all. Yeah, there are big things going on for you today, and even bigger things to come. I hope you believe it. The household of a Roman centurion of the Italian cohort was just baptized, and is even now joining you in extolling God. The first Gentiles to do so. And that was wrought not through the work of the great apostle to the Gentiles, but through Peter, the apostle to the Jews. Abraham had heard that such a thing was coming, but he never saw it. Not like you. God restaking his claim on the whole of humanity, not just a few pious hearts who find their way to church. Cornelius prayed, and his prayer moved the heart of God. And two visions later, history had been made. Or as you sang, the Lord has made his salvation known. There is, in fact, a whole lot of making known going on for you today. For your Jesus told you that all he heard from his Father, he made known to you. He had preached that sermon once before, when he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of heaven's reign." There are secrets that are above your pay grade, certainly mine, like what goes on behind triple locked doors at the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, secret societies all. But Jesus brought you back again so you could hear him preach again, tell you again, All that I have heard from my Father, I made known to you. Nothing is secret to God, of course, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid. But the same is now said of you, who abide in Jesus, kneel at his altar, where his words get proved. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. He holds nothing back. Not love, not from you. Whatever he gets from the Father, he shares with you. Because nothing from him to you is generic. Nothing generic about what the angel to the shepherds said. For you today, a Savior. Nothing generic about what the Marys heard from the young man at Jesus' tomb. Tell his disciples, he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. And you listened, and you went, and you found him waiting here just for you, just as he told you, just for you. For Christianity isn't a transaction. It's not a deal. As in, God acts, I respond, God acts again, and now I get to go to heaven when I die, tit for tat. Because that's not the life of friends. We're in a love story, and in it, you just heard Jesus call you friends. His friends. Actually, his dear friends would be a better way of putting it. And dear friends share what they know. For Jesus, the deeper things of God, the mysteries of the Spirit. For God longs for us to have life in his name. His life, God life, not simply pain-free life, though that would be good, or even never-ending life, but a life that gives, not just takes, not just consumes, life that gives with no strings attached. The kind of life we saw standing before us when Pilate presented Jesus to us, bloodied, donned in purple, crowned with thorns. "Behold the man," the governor said. Really, behold the human being, God's image, his icon. Dying for the world that despised him, betrayed him, denied him. For such was his passion. When Jesus met Peter in Galilee, as he said he would, he did not say, "So Simon, tell me what you were doing with all those denials in the courtyard of the priest." No, "Why, Peter, why?" No, "How long did you weep bitterly?" Or, "Are your eyes still moist?" Only, "Do you love me?" Because it's a new creation now. And a new creation demands a new song. The old has gone, the new has come. So know, how sorry are you, really? Not then, not here, not now. Only, do you love me? That's a friend talking to a friend. It's all about now and what lies ahead. You and dear Jesus. Yea, heaven itself were void and bare if thou, Lord, wert not near me. That's what matters for those in love. The past is gone, done, finished. And now your dear friend talks about his joy being in you, so that your joy might be full. A joy that's not manufactured, processed, or curated by aesthetics, but inbreathed by Jesus himself. Truest friend to me, abide in my love, he tells you. And where is this love of his, this spirit fruit joy for you? It is at this altar today, for you no less than it was in the manger for the shepherds, and on the Galilean beach for Peter and John and the rest, whom he loved to the end. The end that is always a new beginning. For here it is always Easter for you. You and Jesus, your dear forever friend. In the holy name of Jesus.
Amen.